When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? You some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Leaders and true believers, I'm here with
Rocky Roberts.
Rocky Roberts is former Airedale Brown Shoe United States Navy sailor and currently works for Goodwill trying to help vets find jobs, and also a stand-up comic, former stand-up comic. And UCB guy. And tell us a little bit about yourself, brother.
Rocky Roberts. I did some time in the Navy, got out and stuck around Hollywood area. Still have some dreams to chase. Still got to work. Everyone's got their fucking dreams, but I mean, I got all this shit too, so.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a place, you know.
You say you got all this shit, just so you guys listening, I want you to know that I'm sitting in his apartment, and he's got, like, every fucking Gremlin and Beetlejuice variation, and I think just about everybody from every movie that was ever cool. What was that, Junkyard Dog?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Fucking Roddy Piper, and dude's got, like, everything that you would wish that your parents would have bought you when you were 5.
Yeah, everything that would have made your childhood
to 15.
Perfect, yeah. All the shit that I couldn't get when I was a kid, I got when I was an adult.
Yeah, it's weird how that ends up happening, man. Yeah, the same way.
Tell me no, I'll fucking get it all when I'm 30. So, yeah, man, I mean, this, I have all of these things, you know, all of, like, the DVDs alone, like you were saying, that's, jeez.
Yeah, it's the collection now, right? It's, Got to convert everything from DVD to Blu-ray.
Yeah,
that part usually sucks, man.
Yeah,
but so where'd you go to boot camp at, man?
Great Lakes.
How'd that go?
It was cold, dude. I went
in the winter months.
Yeah, I went in October, and I got out the week before Christmas. So instead of having to stick around after boot camp and whatever, like, the day of graduation, we got offered the chance to go home.
Oh, that's badass,
which was
dude.
Amazing.
You got a nice break. I had to wait till after A school.
Yeah.
So then for AZ, was that Pensacola then? Or
no, it was in Meridian, Mississippi.
Oh, fucking badass.
Dude,
how'd that go?
It was awesome. It was fucking, literally it was backwoods, dude.
Yeah?
I mean, you went like 20 miles down this fucking, like, forest road.
Yeah.
And then it dead-ended into the base.
That's like where a detailer shop was too, right? Or was that?
Maybe.
I know they're in Tennessee somewhere, man. My buddy Jimmy was there. And I'll tell you what, the girls that come from there, the most beautiful accents ever.
Yeah.
And then, after A school, anything cool stand out in boot camp or A school?
Nah, dude, you know what?
It goes so fast.
Yeah,
you know?
A school was a blast, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It was like 4 years of college.
Right.
In two months of school.
But, yeah, it's like, for me as a steelworker, I went to Gulfport, Mississippi.
Yeah.
They're slamming you with all this other shit, and the thing is, I was already a welder before I went in.
Yeah.
So, like, when you do, you have root passes, which is the first thing, and you have cover passes, which is the part on top. So I was doing, like, the testing came, I was doing everybody's root passes.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it was hard to get, you know, get the proper penetration in the metal. And then people were getting better fucking grades than me with my own shit. And that's was like, this is bullshit. You know what I mean?
And so you were doing the shit before you went
in? Yeah,
you're already a welder.
I was a welder for 2 years prior to going to the Navy.
Fucking
so
perfect, dude. That worked
that
out.
Helped me out a lot when I got into my first battalion, which was... Here, well, actually, we're in Ventura now, but just down the road in Port Hueneme.
So how long were you at Hueneme?
Off and on. I was there from 96 to 2002, and I went recruiting from 02 to 05, and then I came back from 05 to 09 and as a recruiter and an instructor. And then I went from 09 to 2015 to California.
Okay.
And then... From 15, I went straight to NMCB 3, Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 3. I checked in, and within a month, I was in Okinawa. So that was
your last
my last thing. Wow. I did a drop. I wanted to go back to the battalion for my last thing. I was in an amphibious battalion, but they didn't deploy, and I really missed that shit, and I knew it was my time.
Okay.
You know, so I was like, you know what? I dropped papers. I was like, hey, the skipper is, like, bought off on it. He's like, oh, outstanding sailor, blah, blah, blah. And I love training. I really did love it. I had a cush job, but I'm a big fan of life doesn't start inside the comfort zone, and I was too comfortable, man.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
I totally get it.
I wanted to get back to here. The Comedy Store is like your home away from home, for me at least.
Yeah.
I love that place like I was a human. Yeah. And that fucks you and makes love to you, one of the two. But
yeah.
But anyways, so I wanted to get back to California, get close to the store, and also, you know, be back with Troopy Troops. And then so I went straight to Okinawa, came back, and retired, man.
Yeah.
But you were here, too. You were at Point Magoo?
Yeah, I was at Magoo. So at first I was in El Centro.
Okay, how'd that go, man?
Man, it was fucking hot. And it was middle of nowhere, literally. So I went to El Centro. It was shore duty first. And the squadron I went to, honestly, it was like Mikhail's Navy, dude.
Really?
Yeah, we had it was a squadron with no planes. Not one fucking aircraft. So we just manned this old-ass hangar from the 30s.
Yeah.
And squadrons would come in to bomb, do desert bombing.
Yeah.
They basically, like, trained us. So we just got to learn different, you know, different planes and different shit like that. I guess it was like getting people ready for wherever they might go next year.
Right.
So it was cool. It was almost like school again for 2 years.
See, I've never been a jet dude. I think the most I've ever worked with, my buddy Ken Sayre was an AD or an AZ, and I worked with him.
Yeah.
But we never were in the field. I guess the closest I ever came was like Atsugi and Fuji. You know, both either Marines or Navy, man. So was it? I guess my question is, does it get pretty tedious, or is it pretty a tedious gig, or is it pretty fun? Or
no, you know what's tedious, honestly, because AZ, you go for a 12-hour shift, there's not fucking 12 hours worth of work.
And AZ means what?
Aviation Administration Man.
So
it was, sometimes, dude, it'd be a 12-hour shift with 15 minutes of work.
Really?
So it's just a lot of, like, bullshitting with senior chief all night, you know? Talking music with senior chief, which was lucky, like, that I got a senior chief that was into metal and all this shit. Dude. So all night it was like, let's listen.
As you're sporting a Faith No More t-shirt, one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah, that's my all-time favorite band since I was a kid, dude.
Hell yeah, dude.
Just hanging out, talking to senior chief about music all night. It was cool. I mean, like I said, it was like school again. But this time everyone's in school, you know?
Yeah.
No planes, not a whole lot of real stress. The only real stress was keeping the hangar clean.
Yeah.
You know? So then,
if there's time to lean, there's time to clean.
Yeah, totally. what's crazy is when you work for senior chief and master chief, everyone else is out there cleaning. You're kind of still inside bullshitting with senior chief.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because
you're a jet guy. Basically, like, and I don't mean to say it. I don't want this to come across as mean, but it's like saying for a civilian to look at administration, it's kind of like a secretary job.
Totally.
You know, in a sense. You know, so I'm not trying to say, hey, you're a secretary or a paper bitch.
Totally.
Or anything like that. But I'm just saying that, like, a lot of times when you're in an administration job, like a personnel man or yeoman, AD, AZ, I mean, and that's it, dude. You're, did you ever have to do, like, the fit to flight or any of that other stuff?
No, man. Nothing. I mean, I think the one time I went on the flight deck was to get a pilot to sign something.
An autographed baseball?
Yeah, that's it, dude.
That's
it. It was really incredible. Mark McGuire was flying that day.
Fuck, yes, man. Commander McGuire, what a badass.
No, but, like, the only time, dude, and I'll tell you, though, like, because I wasn't trained to go out there, I was fucking mortified out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because all I hear is horror stories, you know? And they're like, you're going to go out there and you're going to get fucking blown across the flight line. You're going to walk into a prop. So.
I like Alpha's for Family. You ever watch that? The Bill Burr TV
show?
Yeah, the
show's
dude's
fantastic.
Fucking, yeah, head gets cut off. Is it? It's off! It's off! It's on! It's off!
Watching it back and forth.
Yeah.
Totally.
Shit.
Well, I was... when I was done there, I was like, I want to be in the L.A. area. I want to do stand-up because no stand-up there. I did a few mics at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Right.
Because that was the only close Literally, and
how far is
companies.
That though? Like El Centro to La Jolla?
It was like a 2 hour drive.
Yeah. Because so, that's where they got the Blue Angels, right? They hang out down there.
Yeah, El Centro. That's their winter home.
Okay, yeah, because I know they're in Picola a lot of times too. When I was in recruiter school, I'd walk out. I'd go smoke a cigarette, man. And these things were barely skimming the roofs, man. It was bad.
That was my next thing I was going to tell you, dude. That's cool, right? Until you got them for 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing it to the barracks every morning. And you're like, you fucking assholes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that'd be awesome, except for Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you're like, oh, cool. I don't have to set an alarm. You know what I'm saying? Saturday and Sunday, you're like, fuck, I'm still drunk.
Yeah. I mean, they're the celebrities of the Navy, dude.
Yeah.
And they know it, too. Yeah. They go into the fucking convenience store and shit. They know. It's Tom Cruise, man.
Just as long as you're not Goose? Or which one was it?
Yeah, Goose.
So after El Centro, man.
You can feel free to tell these dogs to go. I have dogs that are very needy.
They're cool, man. I don't mind them, dude. They're
okay. Cool. Some people don't like dogs.
Oh, I think dogs are awesome. I'll just pet your dogs while you answer questions.
Okay, yeah.
These guys are fucking cool, man. Yeah, what's this one called?
Sprocket. Yeah, she's kind of a pain in the ass.
What kind of dog is it?
She's a Chiweenie. She's a Dachshund Chihuahua mix.
What's this dog right here?
She's a Pit Lab mix.
Pit Lab.
I mean, if you want them off your shit, literally, you can just be like, go.
No, I'm good, man. I'll give them some breath mints, though.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, their breath is kicking. Monica's 11, so yeah, her mouth is fucking rotten.
But like, so you went from El Centro and you went to
Magoo. Yeah,
Magoo. How did that go? About?
It was honestly because I wanted to be around LA and I wanted to do comedy and stuff. So I think by sheer willpower, I got those orders because I kept saying like, I want Magoo, I want Magoo, I want Magoo.
No, that makes sense. I mean, that's how I ended up. Like, I've been because there was four battalions in Port Hueneme. I started in 5, went from 5 to 4, and then I went. Recruiting, I went to 40, and then I came back, and I went to 3. So, like, I was like, I'm going to do all 4 by the time. I think a lot of times you can kind of will shit to happen.
Yeah, totally.
And that's one of those by planting a lot of seeds and making the proper phone calls and having the right people talk to the right people.
Absolutely.
So you got there. What, were you in a squadron
so,
number?
So, yeah, I went to, it was sea duty, and it was VAW 117, so we were the Hawkeyes, and... or the Wallbangers was the name of it, but Hawkeyes, the planes, you know.
Yeah.
So I got there, and it fucking turned out that they wanted to cancel my orders before I got there.
Oh, that sucks.
They were overmanned.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, fuck. Too late, I guess. So I was there. They didn't have a job for me, so they stuck me in the ready room.
What's that? And what's ready room?
That's where the pilots all hang out.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Really?
So all the pilots hang out. They do all of their bullshitting. Logs, they're logs and records.
Hookers.
Cocaine, yeah, hookers, lots of blow.
But, alright, so they're doing a ready log. What's a ready log? What's that mean?
So I would just log their flight hours. So whenever they would go fly, they'd come in and give me all their paperwork.
Yeah.
And then I'd log all their flight hours. And then I had to be the last one to leave because I had to finalize the next day's flight schedule. I say finalize, just get the fucking XO and CO to sign off on it, dude. So I was usually the last one to leave, but... thing with them being overmanned was they got ready to go on cruise. I got all my shit ready, came to the fucking hangar, and they're like, AZ3, you're gonna go be a secretary for Master Chief at the wing. So for 9 months, dude, I had to go be a secretary for Master Chief.
Then that was in Point Magoo as well,
Point Magoo, yeah.
Right on.
Which, I mean...
That's not bad.
Looking back, I feel like I messed out, because... I was born and raised in Texas, Houston, Texas, right? And I wanted to get the fuck out of there, so I came to California, and my whole Navy career was spent in California. Not bad for some guy from Texas, you know?
Yeah, for me, it's a dude from Ohio, you know what I mean?
But yeah, okay. Yeah, you get it. So coming out here was
fuck yeah, dude.
Good enough for me.
Yeah.
Do I wish I'd have went on cruise? Hell yeah, you know? It's kind of disappointing. They tell you, you know, you get yourself amped up for it, and they're like, hey, you're not going to go.
Yeah.
But then... people start telling me horror stories about cruises and shit. I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Like what?
Just like, I guess I am claustrophobic. I figured this out as after I got out, so it's probably at best that I didn't fucking go to the boat, honestly. Because I would have probably been one of those chicken shits. It's like, yeah, it's too loud. It's too confined.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, man. You're on a floating in the middle of nowhere, dude. You know, yeah. And that's, yeah, I mean, one way or another, that could, a lot of people love that stuff, and, you know, a lot of people can't stand it, you know, and, like, for me, a lot of people don't like being deployed or being away from home or anything like that in their home bodies, and, but I never give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, get me out, let's go do stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever end up going on a deployment or
not? I say no, but I mean I did, but it was to like to Washington, to Whidbey Island, you know. So that wasn't like to a boat or anything. I was just going to
fuck yeah.
And that was when I was in El Centro and we had nothing going on. And they were like, we have to fucking do something. So you got half of you are going to Key West, half are going to Whidbey. I wish I'd have went to Key West.
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys like play King of the Mountain or something for that shit? Or was there a big wrestling match?
No, man.
Drawing straws?
Yeah, it was literally like the senior chief that was my buddy was like, Roberts is going with me.
Yeah.
So I kind of lucked out, honestly.
Fuck yeah.
It's cool to have somebody higher up, you know, that's like, that loves you.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they're going to hook you
up. That's a double-edged sword, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I've had Master Chiefs that fucking hated me.
No shit.
But I've had people that love me as well, too. And then, you know, because I had people... Well, here's the thing, too, is I guess everybody that hated me knew my work ethic, so they would still want me to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they hated my attitude towards... I don't want to say discipline, but towards... politics,
because
I wasn't a big fan, and in hindsight, it hurt me a lot. You know, I mean, but at the same time, I did everything my way.
Yeah,
you know, and that's, I mean, you don't make first class in 9 years and then spend 11, 11 there. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
without
totally.
Not doing something right or wrong.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, but I didn't really want to play the politics game, and I like getting my hands dirty and being in the trenches.
Yeah,
you know, so.
So. Did you ever go up for chief?
Yeah, oh yeah. I've been up for chief like half my career.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, 11 years.
Then that's like I was saying, man, like half my career I was up for chief, and then there was I never submitted a package, and my last time I didn't even take the exam.
Yeah.
I just said fuck, I slept in that day. It wasn't anything against that. I was just like I said, for me I was where I wanted to be, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I was done.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it too is I shortchanged troops, not me, because
okay.
I know now looking back at all the people that were under me that are chiefs and senior chiefs and shit now.
Yeah.
I'm getting text messages and shit when I'm saying thanks and or congratulations, and they're saying thank you, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, and I'm like, Jesus.
That's
but
awesome.
one of the first things I would say is keep your mouth shut. Don't do what I do.
Yeah.
And, but keep doing what you're doing with, except for the mouth part or something. I don't know. But anyways, long story short. Yeah. I mean, I kind of knew I was going to be a comic, dude. I mean,
yeah.
I got in 2006, 2007, Robin Williams, and there was this big USO tour. And I talked about it a few times on the podcast, so I won't pour everybody back home. But Robin Williams and a group of people came through on this USO tour. And in the middle of that, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is awesome. For the first time, my mind wasn't on everything else going on in the world. I was that's what I want to do. I want to be a comedian. And I want to go back. Because I'm never going to be tired of the troops. I'll always be tired of the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'll never... And I'm still like... I've been... Counting terminal, may the 4th be with you. The Star Wars day,
yeah.
I've been, like, not wearing a uniform.
Okay.
But I'm still helping people out with warfare boards
and
selection boards. I got people calling me up before exams, like, saying, hey, what's the best way to remember, you know, like, freaking concrete formulas and weird shit like that. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, maximum effective ranges for weapons, but, yeah. So, that part's cool.
Yeah.
And, I, like I said, I think Dougie Heiner, he's retired Master Chief. I was still his lines. Once my troop, always my troop. And that's why I think I've turned into the, what do you call it? The Kilroy of the Seabees.
Okay.
Because no matter where you go, some of my troops are slapping stickers.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get a, like, there's one in 400 Liggett, halfway, or Paso Robles, not Paso Robles, where the fuck is it? Halfway from here to Port Hueneme. Halfway from here to 400 Liggett. There's this place where you fill up. It's halfway where everybody pisses and gets out and grabs a soda pop and some candy bars or health nuts. They'll probably drink their creatine and snort their, you know, whatever supplement shock.
Yeah.
And And there's somebody put one of my stickers on a hand dryer.
That's
there. Badass. You know, and the funny thing is I get a text message or a Facebook picture like probably every 2-3 weeks. Dude, you won't believe what I've seen. And I'm like, no way, that's still there.
That's
so it's not so much it's not a surprise that it's, you know, it's a surprise that it's still there. But yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, man. So, but yeah, when you got out, where were you at?
So yeah, I mean, I was out here at Magoo, and I had met Emily, my wife, too. So I kind of like, you know, I was with her, and so I knew I was going to settle around here.
Yeah,
I was going to move to Hollywood, but I hung out here. There was a guy I was doing comedy with too. He was directing porn.
Oh, nice.
So he wanted me to move into a house with him, and I'm honestly kind of glad I didn't. Because I found out he got some real addiction problems and shit like that. So
that's not good.
Yeah, so me and my wife moved in together. And we weren't married yet, but I just kept doing comedy. And actually, when I was left behind on cruise, while they went on cruise, it was perfect because that's when I started doing comedy really regularly in LA and stuff. I think I focused on the comedy store too much. Honestly, because every Sunday and Monday, that's where I was.
Yeah, because back then it was the potlucks for two nights instead of one. I mean,
every Sunday, every Monday, I was sitting out there. But I think I was focusing there more than any other place. So I wasn't really open to going to other places and doing open mics because I wanted to make it
at the store
there. And I mean, that's not really the way to do it.
No, you know? And that's the thing too. I love, like I said before. I mean, the store, I love it like a place, like it's a person, but. The store I've also found, and Skakel, I think Earl Skakel and Dean Del Rey and a couple other people have, you know, said it pretty easily. I remember when Skakel was there a lot, and then he just kind of, I didn't see him for a while, because I'd come back every 6 months. And he was like, hey, I'm not getting any time, I'm not giving some love, you know, and he took a little break from the store and hanging out, but he's there
like
now. But
20 years before he became
oh my God, he's been, there. Yeah. You and know. The thing is, too, is, like, with him, he, you know, he kind of was just saying, you know, hit, do spots, that's and then it. Come hang at the store afterwards. And that's kind of like, I'll go do, Ryan Talmo's got a couple rooms he'll have run in the Valley or something, so I'll go hit up, you know, Petey's place or something, and when that's over with, I'll try to shoot down to the store so I can catch Don Barris, close it down, and, you know, and he's my favorite comic in the world, dude.
Oh, really?
Fucking Don. No, oh, sure. God. Yeah, because he just controls everything and everybody around him.
Yeah.
He spins like 30 plates at a time.
Yeah, no shit, he really does. He was one of the ones that I used to hang out with in 2005. And I think a lot of people that are new to the place kind of like will seek him out because he's a really like outgoing guy. He's going to talk to everyone.
Yeah.
He used to give me stickers. I used to slap him on fucking jets.
Hell yeah, man.
So,
matter of fact, what's his name? Simone.
Yeah.
We'd call him, you know, he'd call it Don Barris' frat house. That's pretty accurate description.
Yeah, totally. Especially after fucking 1 a.m., dude.
Okay.
The place is insane. So
that's a good advertisement for late night at the Comedy Store. If you've never been there, you got to fucking go.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, too, is like,
it's every fucking night. Yeah. It's not Saturday. It's not Friday. It's fucking every night. Man. It's cool, though, and that's one of the things that drags people into that place. Like you said, that fucking place is alive, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. When I started going there in 2005, like, and really doing comedy on the regular there, I think I went in too eager.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to go in there, I need to have 3 shots, and then fucking I'll dominate. And it got to the point where it was like... Honestly, dude, after 2 solid years of harassing and bothering people, I had to take a break. Because I felt like I was the guy that was pushing it. Like, people were like, all right, fuck off. There was, honestly, there was one time I was hammered, and I was like, Joe Rogan wants me to come up to him and talk to him about ass to mouth right now. He wants that.
Yeah.
And that was the night that I was like, no more drinking here. Fucking take a step back. And honestly, and this is going to sound weird, but I started smoking weed, and then I could step outside of myself and go, okay, that's how you're acting.
Yeah.
Be cool. So.
Well, yeah, you can detach, you know, from where you're at. That's the whole thing. I mean, that's what Wayne Gretzky used to do playing hockey.
Yeah.
That's why he was the fucking best, because he could see the game outside of himself.
Yeah.
You know, he could figure out what was going on. And I think if anybody can be, if Wayne Gretzky can do that to control himself, a comic needs to do that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
even if you're a pilot. Yeah. You need to see everything, not just what's right in front of you.
Unfortunately, I had to do it. I had to medicate myself.
Right. Were you still active duty then, or
no?
You're already out.
Yeah, I was out. It was when I was active duty. It's probably when I was like overbearing it, because I was also bringing fucking 10 sailors with me.
Yeah.
So we would load up 2-3 cars and take over the fucking front patio.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Just a bunch of fucking rowdy sailors.
Yeah, because just. I can see Rick Ingram being like, "Oh, look at these fucking douchebags."
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that they made a lot of money.
That was
all of us.
Oh yeah, man. I was just. I bet you fucking. Oh, so you were there like during the, right before the Dark Ages. I mean, that was starting to be the beginning of the Dark Ages, really, because Rogan stopped going because the whole Mencia
stopped.
Stanhope,
they all just stepped back. Yeah, Mencia was still on the scene a lot. He was one of the big names there.
Yeah.
But I remember when Rogan was still hanging out, and then he stopped coming. Like Red Band was always there. Still,
yeah, he was
like,
still there.
Those guys. But, I took a big break, have you ever met Tommy when he was there?
Yeah.
See, he was the one that allowed, like, a lot of, like...
Yeah, and a lot of people hated him. He wasn't really a gatekeeper for me.
Yeah.
In a weird way. You know, and he really didn't do that for me. But now, I mean, I could see, like, with all my friends that were being held back a lot.
Yeah.
You know, especially with
Earl
and stuff like that. And the thing with Tommy is, and then I'll say this is a good thing about him, was I was hanging out at the store, and he'd do that weird thing and point at you and be like, "Hey, how's it going?"
Yeah.
You know, and I'd talk to him and stuff like that. And then I wasn't even trying to be a comic.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, how do I go about it? And I was like, when he was telling me, you know, come in and fucking do the whole potluck thing and how the potluck works. And, you know, there's a science that's basically, you know, 3 minutes to be yourself. Don't try to be funny. Just be you and all that other kind of shit. And then Simone and Skakel, I'll keep dropping their names because I love them. But they're always saying, be yourself and have fun. And all that, and I saw Tommy one time, and I was just hung out there because my battalion left.
Yeah.
So I'm here by myself as an instructor, and at this point, NMCB 40 is gone, and I'm going through some heavy shit, and I was hanging at the store a lot, and he's like, "You know, you're a fucking comedian, you know," and he's just like, "Anytime you don't ever pay, you just walk in and say I'm a comic."
Yeah.
Just for now on, and I've been ever since, and I was like, "Oh shit." And then I learned the process, and then, you know, now I've been doing it for years. But.
Yeah. Yeah, he was kind of like, I don't have a lot, like, and I know a lot of people love to shit on him, but I never had a bad encounter with him. Never once. He was always cool to me. He made us friends and family, you know, so he would tell us, "Hey, next Monday, be ready," you know. So I can't say a lot about him, but a lot of people just fucking shit on him, you know.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, he was a racist." I personally never saw that. Maybe he was, I don't know, you know, I just can't attest to that because it wasn't around me.
Yeah.
But I will say that he's the guy who was, like, told us, like, "Hey, you're good here. Come on in."
Yeah, he was always, like, he was always nice to me, but like I said, I mean, everybody else he kind of kept back. And I guess when they sided with Mencia on that was a weird thing, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, obviously.
Because it's supposed to be a place that's harboring, you know, development and should be, you know, but I guess the whole...
I get it, but that's like the politics of the shit.
So you did stand up for a while, and then you stopped. Why'd you stop?
Honestly, man, I started recording my shows, and I started seeing myself as other comics. So I'd look, and I'd be like, that's fucking Dane Cook.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or that's Joe Rogan. That's this or that.
Yeah.
So I feel like writing what I think is funny fucks me over. If I think, you know, let me say this, writing what I think that you think is funny, what I think that the crowd thinks is funny, is hard for me. I can be funny, I feel like I can be funny, you know, funniest guy in the squadron, that's fine, but you can't, who said this? Mike Schmidt said this to me a while back. He was like, "You could be the funniest guy at work."
Yeah.
You could be that. But if you're like, "I'm the funniest guy in comedy," fuck you. You ain't shit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So that's kind of how I felt. It was like, I felt like I was funny, but then you get up, and you're not getting the laughs, and you're like, "Well, fuck me, I'm a piece of shit."
Is that why you got into improv?
That's exactly why. So I wanted to do improv for a while. I wanted to do it while I was in El Centro. I was researching it, but it was just like not feasible to go to LA every fucking weekend.
Maybe you can go down to UCB from here, though, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, I do that. That's no problem. I'm still like I bitch about it, you know. I'm like, fucking hour drive, whatever.
Right?
It's better than, you know, being in Texas, you know.
Dude, and then like, you know, and that's what sucks too. I mean, I guess it's better than driving down to write your name down on a list and not go
and
up
not
at all.
Fucking get any time. Yeah. So. So I started doing the UCB thing because I find that if I can go unprepared and just you throw something at me and I could just go off, you know.
Yeah.
That's what works best for me.
Fuck yeah. And then you're you. That's the whole
thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Is you never want, you want to be 100% authentic.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I loved about the leadership in the military and all that as I bring that to the comedy world is just, no matter what, be yourself, dude.
Yeah.
Like, everything you do, you got to be 100% authentic because you don't remember what you were like 6 months ago. But
yeah.
If you were you right now, 6 months from right now, you'll still be you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so that's the whole, like, that's why I never understood hacky people. I mean, I get that people want to get ahead very fast.
Yeah.
But I never liked that about them, you know. So when you got out,
relax.
Stay like, when you got out of the military, did you ever go through any, like, fucking, like, dark periods or anything like that? Or was it weird? Or?
Yeah, fucking A, I did. What's
man.
That, I'll tell you, like, coming out and just, because you make a good amount of money when you're in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you come out and you're like, well, I make this much money. It's like, fuck you, I don't have any. Hey, Monica.
Oh, she's
okay. My dogs are very needy.
Yeah, that's all good, dude.
A lot of people have never met a dog named Monica, so your listeners might be like, oh, you're yelling at some lady over here.
Walensky?
yeah, no, there were some dark points, though. I mean, coming out and trying to find out what I was capable of doing. Well, the first thing I did, I was like, I'm going to wait tables because that's fucking minimal responsibility.
Yeah.
You don't know how much responsibility there is to waiting fucking tables.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got membership.
Yeah.
You got to get shit.
Like, this is harder than my 4 years that I did in the Navy, you know?
Right.
So I did that for a while, and then I went to caregiving, man. And caregiving was, that was honestly the low of the low for me.
So what was caregiving? Is that like hospice or something like that? Or?
Yeah, so it was adults with developmental disabilities, which, I mean,
gotcha.
if you can do it, fucking great for you. But it's babysitting.
Right.
So I had to work these long-ass weekend hours. I mean, it was like 8 to 10. Oh, no, it was like noon to 10, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So my whole fucking weekend was like shot.
Yeah.
And I would just sit on this guy's couch and watch him watch Hannah Montana. That was it,
oh,
dude.
Shit.
All day. And I did that shit for 2 years, and then somebody's like, hey man, have you heard about the post 9/11 GI Bill? I was like, no, I fucking haven't. Tell me about it. So one of my buddies.
Say no more!
Yeah, yeah. So one of my active duty buddies, he told me about it. And then, I fucking hate to say this, but ITT contacted me, right? And,
yeah.
Because I put in feelers or whatever, and they're like, hey, 100%, you're paid, man, 4 years, come on. So I did it. So I was like, okay, I'll go to ITT. They're gone now. It's not even a fucking school at this point. I can't even get my, you know, my transcripts.
But right.
I have a bachelor's degree from them. So I feel like I got my bachelor's degree, and I'm good, and I know what the fuck's up, but other places might think, you went to ITT, you don't know shit, you know?
I gotcha.
But, it's really, that place was, it was kind of like, what you put into it is what you're going to get, so, like, I got my associates in graphic design. Honestly, I had to teach myself on YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, dude,
oh,
not
shit.
Kidding you. And then I got my my bachelor's in project management, which was, I had a good teacher, so that's what got me this job at Goodwill.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, my dark period was, yeah, caregiving sent me right to school.
Yeah.
But yeah. While I was in school, they were doing the whole, like, it was like BAH, too, basically. So
right.
Pay your rent.
It's like E5 single BAH.
Yeah.
So you're getting paid your rent. BAH, basic allowance for housing, for those who don't know it. And that they're basically paying rent money.
Yeah.
And at an E5, which is middle management in the military. So that's actually not bad.
Yeah, no. So I was
around here, I think that's what, like, $1,600, $1,800 back then, probably about $1,600 a
yeah.
month, maybe $1,800.
Yeah, it was good.
You know, and that's not bad. I mean, that covers the fucking rent, dude.
Absolutely.
Especially, yeah.
So my wife Emily was working, and that was actually like the time that I really got involved in comedy again.
Yeah.
Because I could. I wasn't having to worry about work. I was able to go to school 4 days a week and go do comedy at night. So that's when I jumped back into it and then really realized that, fuck it. Maybe not so much.
No.
So,
and that's when you flip-flop from the stand-up to the
to improv. Yeah. But so. I always hung out at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
So I made a lot of friends there, and it's more of just like a fucking place to hang out.
That's the thing, too, is that if you're authentic, you're fine there.
Yeah.
If you're fake, you're getting weeded the fuck out and go away.
Totally.
And that's, I fucking love that place for that.
Totally.
So, like, I remember we had, Dean was a manager there for a while. And
yeah.
You had Mini Dean walking around with a tail hanging out the back of his.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I still see Mini Dean around Hollywood.
Weird dudes just hanging around that place. But they were authentic to who the fuck they were.
That's true.
The store owned them.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
And that's what you're talking about Roddy Piper earlier, before we started this, and God rest his soul. He was such a nice guy, because he was really good friends with Simone and Skakel and those guys. And I wasn't a comic yet. I just started hanging at the store. And I'm sitting in the back, and he's like, I love this place, man. It's just like it's like being a stray dog. You know, they feed you table scraps and rub your belly.
Yeah.
And they keep you around.
Absolutely.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is so cool. And then that's when, like, right before I started doing stand-up, like, religiously. And I'll never forget that. And he just always treated everybody just like a good dude. You know what I'm saying? Just like,
he was
like, never once did I ever see him be, who he could have been. You know what I'm saying? Like, he, and we'd make fun of rental cars because being in the military, you go travel all the time and you're in rentals and just beating the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
We'd talk about how rental cars we've destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, just silly shit like that with him, you know?
I find that, like, okay, like, this is advice for anyone. If you see a celebrity and you want to chat with them, I've always found it's best to find common ground to talk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be like, wow, you're Roddy Piper, you're a wrestler, I watched you do this, because, like, fuck, you work at a restaurant, you work at McDonald's or some shit, you want somebody to be like, I love Big Macs, I fucking love Quarter Pounders, tell me how you make a Quarter Pounder, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I try to find middle ground with somebody, so that's perfect. You guys talked about rental.
Yeah.
That's just great advice for anyone who talks to a celebrity.
What I've noticed, too, speaking of celebrities and stuff, is, like, being a comic, I'm, like, not even really a fucking feature, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like a glorified open micer. I'm a good MC, but, I could feature, but I'm, I'm not booked anywhere. But anyways, for me personally, I really dig people and knowing people. And if it's not worth talking to them, fuck them.
Yeah.
Just admire from a distance.
Yeah.
And also, they get told stories more than they anything. It's funny because I don't know how many times I'll hold a camera for somebody, like, because I'm hoping in for them or I'm emceeing for them, especially at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone, and, like, they just come up and somebody tell them, like, the story, and they just nod, and then, like, and then they sign an autograph, and then they go, and the next person wants to tell them how they affected their life. And,
I mean, you get told only things about you.
Yeah.
Find fucking common ground if you want to actually have a meaningful conversation.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is just you got to just distance yourself. And
yeah.
95.5 KLOS, where I work now, it's insane. And there's just so many people you're like,
yeah, dude,
this is so cool, but you don't want to fuck with them.
Yeah.
You know? So.
When it's like all of those DJs, they're LA celebrities.
Yeah.
At least.
I mean,
they're celebrities in LA.
Yeah, like Frosty, Heidi, and Frank are awesome. Like, I really don't know if Frosty just came back with the team. But I've done, I don't want to say I'm like Frank's right hand man. I'm not.
Yeah.
But there's a Top Rocker in Glendale. I do a signing thing with them all the time, and I'm kind of like, I guess you'd say a bitch or an assistant, I don't know what you want to call it, but I set the table, I set the tent, I set the speakers and all that other stuff, and it's usually just me and him or another street team guy, and just such a good guy.
Yeah.
And he'll just know everybody's name, he'll remember them from each time they talked.
Shit.
And
I've always kind of wondered, because I do listen every morning, like, going to work.
But he's a legit good dude.
Really?
And that's,
I've wondered that shit.
People like him and Lemmy and people that you've glorified in your head
are
who I want to be like if I ever make it. You know what I mean? You know, so I'm sure if, like, you did a comedy show and you made it to SNL from UCB or something.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Which would be amazing.
Fuck yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, and goals, like a comedy or?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, with My main goal would be to fucking actually write a movie. I can't tell you how many movies I've started to write. It's just finishing something sometimes. Yeah. So before you get a new idea and you're like, ah, fuck that other idea. This is great. Maybe one day I'll work on that. Ultimately, man, I'd love to write horror comedies.
Right.
That's me. I mean, I'd love to do that.
That'd be fun.
And do improv. So, I mean, yeah, that's the ultimate goal. Paying rent is also a goal.
Well,
so,
that's, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got family, and the wife and the fur babies.
That's
you
it,
know,
man.
That's awesome, dude.
I know.
The collection's badass.
But sometimes I do look at all of these things and go, fuck, I've got all this shit.
No, but the cool thing is being a collector myself, I mean, I've got hockey jerseys, I got comic books, and then, I got, like, all this other shit, is that I know that I could liquidate whatever I needed to.
Totally.
And then go back and get it later.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, how many times have you heard about the guy who pawned his guitar and, to pay rent and then went back and bought it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I get that. But yeah, it's sometimes I get distracted, like or discouraged living this
Squirrel.
Far
Let's
out.
Get...
Yeah, no. Sometimes being up here, I'm like, I'm too far away from it all. But I always have to be like, fucking, an hour drive is nothing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true, man. And then
I think it's that traffic.
But the thing about it like this, you're not in Houston.
That's
you know what I'm saying? And it's like, it
lot
gets to be a
than
bitch.
Houston.
And and for me it's an hour drive too because I live in fucking Inglewood.
Yeah.
And then trying to get to the Comedy Store, it's just like at nighttime to get home, 20-25 minutes. You know.
Yeah.
Like I'll do a spot probably in the Valley. I'll go hang at the Comedy Store. After that, I'll probably drive around with Don Barris and talk rock and roll. And I could listen to stories from the store for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So like I value that dude. Like riding around with that dude, it's like a fireside chat inside the car. He's just telling you some cool shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, really?
I have heard a lot of late night
dude, he's the best.
Drive talks from Don. I didn't do anything. I think like I've gone to Norms with him in like a group.
Well, that's
a couple
just
times,
as cool
you know?
Too, man.
Yeah, yeah. But that was, I'll tell you, like my first few years there, watching everyone and being like, holy shit, I want to hang out with all these people. Then you finally learn if you're just fucking cool there.
Dude, that's it.
And you're just confident and cool, you're good.
Just all you got to do is just be you and don't be overbearing.
Be,
you know
what I mean? Be fucking cool. That's it.
You're already at the cafeteria table, man.
That's it.
If you're at the store, you're at the cafeteria table.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
you
it.
Are already at the table.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be the coolest kid at the table, and then there's you, which wherever you fall in, which when you first sit down at the table, you're not the coolest kid at the table.
Yeah.
You probably never will be the coolest kid at the table, but...
No.
You're at the fucking table.
That's it, dude. Absolutely. If people just realize that.
Exactly.
I'm here. Be cool. And I've told many people that there. Fucking be cool.
That's it.
I've had people say, hey, man, how did you get in here? How do you know these people? Like, new faces on the scene.
Yeah.
Be fucking cool.
I just didn't say shit, you know? And then, like, if there's
something
cool. Like, if somebody, everybody's wants, or everybody says nice set. You know what I'm saying? Everybody.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's good or bad or whatever. But if you remember a bit, fuck telling anybody nice set because you're lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if somebody had a good fucking bit, tell them. Be honest. Be like,
dude,
that shit you said about the Twin Towers, that was fucked up, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, call it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a good chance that they're thinking, did that fucking work? Was
yeah.
that good?
Yeah,
was that bad?
Yeah, and that store is just a big fucking gym.
That's nice. So have something to offer when you talk to somebody like this. You know? Good set. Okay, what was fucking good?
You got, You did the post 9/11, and I'm hopping back to this because there's something I was thinking about.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you earlier. How hard was that to go about doing the post 9/11 for folks that are thinking about doing that after they got over?
Oh, honestly, I mean, well, I put the feelers out there, and the fucking ITT came, immediately.
Put the feelers out, what did you do? Just like hit like carpet bomb colleges?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. I. And I don't even think it was ITT that I requested info from. It was University of Laverne.
Okay, gotcha.
So, I don't know how the fuck, but DeVry, ITT, all the schools got it.
Yeah.
You know, they all got the info that I was looking. So,
Well, what I think what they do at some places, they sell your information.
Yeah,
so that's probably what happened.
That makes sense 100% because I did not call ITT.
So, did you just go to the VA then and then... have the VA, or how did
honestly,
that happen?
Man, I went to the school, told them about it. They were like, okay, you are this. Do you have your DD-214?
Right.
And then they needed my disability letter, too, for some fucking reason. So they did it all, man. That, I mean, all I did was take them that and then the school processes it all.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to talk to somebody from, like, the vet center or the VA. They're probably going to contact you. I did have to go to a meeting at the vet center and sign a few documents.
Did you do that in Ventura or did you do it in L.A.?
Yeah, in Ventura.
Okay. How did that go down? Do you do anything with the VA at all?
Now I do. Yeah, I mean, I go to the doctor there, you know.
Yeah.
But that's about it. And I do get, you know, you get disability for whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I didn't have asthma until I joined up. And they think that the pesticides, because El Centro is fucking pesticides, man.
Right.
After 2 years there, like, my lungs were kicking my ass.
That's where, like, I need to get reassessed because I already got raided. But the thing is I need to appeal some shit because I got asthma.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it got worse after Iraq because the burn pits, man. And then I'm a welder, so...
I'm sure, yeah.
I did a lot of welding on car paint. Carcinogenic. It's basically a sealant that makes sure chemical agents don't get inside paint, you know, inside a vehicle or something like that.
Bad shit for breathing.
Very bad shit. But the thing is this, is I got, because I was in Fallujah, but I had guys that were going to Ramadi and El Asad and all over. I mean, my shit stayed in Fallujah, but I was everywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part. I mean, I'd be in Ramadi for a day or two here and there, but, you know, I'd be back in Fallujah, and then I'd be going to El Asad, I'd be back in Fallujah. And realistically, I don't know where I was at half the time because I would just ride with fucking Marines or SEALs or Seabees. And,
yeah.
There'd be up armor on these vehicles. They'd get fucked up because it hit IEDs.
Yeah.
So we'd cut out stuff, and I'd try to do some patchwork, grind it down, fucking fill the groove, make sure it's good to go. And then I had this one Marine Corps convoy security team or convoy security element, whatever they call it that these days, and they always had like the worst luck. They would hit shit all the time, and it came to the point where there was another base that they could get worked on, but they always had to do a wait and a turnaround and all this other shit. Sometimes it'd take a couple days, and I never had anybody. I never sent anybody away. It might be like come back in a couple hours.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna make sure you're taken care of.
Yeah.
So these guys were in my shop all the time. So that cark paint, man, we're breathing that, welding all the time. And then one time, there's this poor Lance Corporal running around our camp looking for, hey, have you guys seen HM1 O'Brien? Because, you know, everybody's an HM.
Yeah.
You know, I'm an SW, but everybody's an HM1.
So that's what they all call.
They call everybody's HM1. Yeah. Have you seen HM1 O'Brien? And they're like, HM1 O'Brien? Ha ha ha. You know, the poor bastards walking around with a rack of ribs because we can't get meat. In Fallujah, but
yeah.
I think got it in like El Asad or I don't know, TQ or somewhere. But yeah, so that was always welding on that shit's really.
Yeah, that's a lot of bullshit.
Had to have been in my lungs, man. And I'm at a 0%. That's not right.
No, not at all.
You know? Did you have to deal with any bullshit like appeals processes for
not at all, dude.
Really?
No. So you're at zero, right?
No. I'm rated.
I was gonna say
I'm getting a little bit of cash.
Good.
But I'm saying like for that one thing, it's you know at zero. But there's other things on there that I should be getting through. Like for you to process. Did you have any if you don't mind me asking?
No, it's
you know,
fine.
I mean, did you have any disabilities when you got out or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean,
the pesticides or?
That, and then I got some skin shit while I was in. So I never had skin issues, and then I get out, and
right.
It's like, they're like, well, it looks like psoriasis or eczema or whatever. So I'm still going through that shit right now. So that was another big one. That, and then I got a hernia while I was in.
Gotcha.
Which was, who the fuck knows how, because I was behind a desk. But hey, you can get a hernia taking a shit, so.
Yeah, that's it, man. And you know what? Blame the chow.
Yeah.
They say the Navy, the chow is mighty fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, dude, we did eat well in boot camp, though.
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't know. Was it that way for you?
What year did you go into boot camp?
2002. Yeah, 2002.
I was in 96. It was okay. Oh, yeah, because, like, you went in post 9/11, right?
Yeah. It's different?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything was different. It was a lot better. And I don't mean it as in, like, I think a lot of it, too, is you had a different administration. You know, more funding for the military.
Yeah.
And, you know,
you see,
I came in under the Clinton administration, and, like, we were using claymores and writing cardboard claymore front towards enemy and stuff like that, and then never really had a chance to blow shit up.
Yeah.
And then, like, fast forward later on, it's like, oh, we get all kinds of good stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I think, so does that mean that you wouldn't be eligible for the post 9/11?
Oh, I'm eligible for post 9/11. Yeah, because I'm still in past 9/11.
Okay, I see that.
I came in 96, but I'm still eligible, because if you served after it, you know, you're good. So, okay. Like, if I came in, like, I got out, like, technically, August 1st, 2016 was my first day of being a civilian.
Wow.
Yeah, I just retired. Like, I was on terminal from May to all of July. And July 31st this year was, that was my last day.
Yeah.
And, I'm good.
Okay,
if I wanted to use it.
I mean, because I do see some guys and they say that they're not eligible because they didn't sign up after. And I wasn't real sure how that works, so I don't, but that's good to know that.
From my understanding, I'm good to go.
You need, okay, good. Because I want to be able to tell people.
Because, I guess there's, just talk to the VA rep, because I guess some people get fucked around, and all you have to do is just a simple, like, check in the block, and you're good to go, you know?
Yeah.
So some people don't realize that that's all they have to do. But the thing is just like anybody that's in, when you get out, you still have fucking Johnny Non-Rate, you know, mentality, you know, and, you know, or
absolutely.
Fucking, you know, I guess you'd call him the flight deck lawyer or whatever. You know, he's the one who's like, oh, yeah, man, like, you know, this is how it goes, dude, like, you know. Yeah, it's like the kid when you're in, like, third grade and he's telling you about sex.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? So a blowjob really is when a chick blows on your penis? Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, yeah, that kind of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everyone's got, I just say, fucking veterans, research what the fuck you can. Don't listen to anyone else. Figure it out. Unless you really trust this person.
And that's the thing, too. And the cool thing is there's so much online.
Yeah.
It's almost overwhelming what's online. But you can always do your research and then, you know, fucking call, you know what I mean? Call the VA. I mean, that's.
I mean,
all you gotta do is just. And I know people
you
don't
might
like
wait
phones.
4 hours. But.
Yeah, right. You know,
I will
that's
say
the suicide hotline. You gotta wait 4 hours on.
God, that's horrible. I will say, 10 years ago, the VA was a lot smoother than it is right now.
Yeah, well, that's the whole.
Yeah, it's a fucking wreck right now, man. Like, appointments are getting pushed out months and months.
Yeah.
When before it was like, well, can you come in next week? Can you come in 2 weeks? And now it's like, can you come in 4 months, 5 months? So
it's fucked, man.
Yeah, it's a mess that they gotta fucking clean
up. That's like, yeah, that's like, I'm like, I've been weary of it, and I'm not a fan of asking for help. I got a lot of family that just collects disability because they can.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why everybody's like, dude, you earned it, blah blah blah. You did 20 years, your body's fucked up. But at the same time, for me personally, I'm like, I feel like I'm taking a welfare check.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
I absolutely understand.
And I know it's not, but at the same time, it's, you know.
It's hard to not feel that way.
Yeah.
I fucking totally know what you're saying. And, I mean, you're not the only vet that feels that way. A lot of them do.
Right.
I mean, there are guys that have come out, and they're legitimately fucked up. And you say, do you get disability? Nope. Well, man, you are the fucking one who needs it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you need it, fucking God, take it, dude. Honestly, going to the VA, I went last week, and it fucking really is heartbreaking right now, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking sad.
I gotta go Monday. And that'll be my first time ever doing a visit. Like,
oh,
ever.
Really?
I got, Allison Gill, she's a comic out of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
She's cool people, man. Matter of fact, she got me a gig on PBS. I did a fucking thing for PBS for, anyways, that's a whole other podcast in itself.
Okay.
But she made a phone call and said, yeah, they're expecting to see you between this time and this time on Monday, and ask for so-and-so if you don't get the help you need. So,
yeah.
Because I post shit online because I don't want to sound all gloomy and stuff, but I know if I'm feeling this shit, somebody else is feeling that shit. That's why, you know, every once in a while, if you see the stuff all right, and I'm like, you know, and then people understand.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I just want people to know that, hey, I'm not fucking, you're not alone when you're feeling like, I don't want to say depressed and suicidal, but it's the truth.
Yeah,
you know, you get in those ruts, man, and long story short, too late, right? that's why I say that. But I posted something, and she hit me up. She's like, hey, Josh, have you talked to the VA yet? And I'm like, not really.
Yeah.
She's like, you need to. And I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, everyone should, whether it sucks or not. I mean,
yeah.
It's fucking part of what you have going on, you know. You're a veteran. Take advantage of it. That's cool though that you have set you up. So have you gone down there?
No, I haven't done anything with VA. I did my initial, like, when you get out, you got to turn in your records, mm-hmm. and you talk to somebody real quick, and then after that, you have, like, they set up appointments automatically for mm-hmm. you. You got those three appointments you got to go to, and or, well, like, six appointments, but yeah. three places I had to go to. I did those, knocked those out, and then after that, within, like, 2 months, man, I was getting paid for, like, my first thing, but... Like I said, I still want to go to appeals because their shit, I should definitely be, like, my lungs, like that, I was
that,
talking about.
That one right there would be, like, one of my main ones.
Yeah, and I'm like, holy shit.
Because as a welder.
Oh, god damn. Yeah, that, and then, like, you know, hacking and stuff like that, and, you know, I was on shit as I was getting out, you know, and I ran out. Like,
yeah.
I've been sucking fumes out of my last name.
Yeah. Any time, you just let me know.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, some people try to get weed and coke off friends. Rocky hooked me up with an albuterol inhaler today.
Yo, you need inhalers, man. Talk to me.
Tell you, I got you, dog.
I mean, I do have weed, but I can give you inhalers.
Well, I don't do that. I mean, I ain't got nothing against it.
Yeah,
I just,
yeah.
You know, everybody's like, dude, you're going to get out, you're going to grow a beard and smoke a lot of weed. And,
look at I'm beard.
Clean shaven, and I don't smoke weed. Nothing against it. It's just that's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have a beard and smoke weed, so...
That's true.
Look at me. I honestly, it's a medical beard. I have psoriasis on my face.
Yeah, right?
Face,
you gotta grow that.
it's a medical beard.
You had to
beard.
Get a card for it, you
yeah,
know?
Dude,
like,
yeah.
back in the day, I had a no-shave shit,
yeah,
but I got a card.
Yeah, you gotta have your chit, man. But like I said earlier, too, like, smoking weed takes me outside of who I am sometimes. And it did help me to go, that's not the fucking way to be.
I need to get some edibles or something and just write. You know, I think that's probably what I need to do.
Yeah.
Maybe eat some mushrooms in the desert or something. Like,
oh!
And just fucking, you know, get a good place and fucking...
Yeah.
And just chill. I mean, I haven't done it yet, and it's in the back of my head, and I used to love, like, before I went in, you know, I mean, I did all kinds of shit, but...
But you've gone 20 years
without... Yeah, and it's
without...
kind of... It's not that I'm scared to do it or anything like that. It's just I know how much I like it.
Yeah.
And I know how fast... I will go from not smoking weed to, like, I better hit this before I walk out the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
saying.
I don't want to get to that point because
yeah.
it's very easy to say, like, I got PTSD pretty bad. And
yeah.
I need to fucking hit a joint before I go out in town. You know? And
you
I
don't
see
rely
a lot
on
of
it.
People like that. Yeah, I see a lot of people like that, too. But my mentality is there. And it's nothing against weed. And it's not like I'm going to freak out.
Yeah.
It's just I know that that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
I mean, and if you feel like you don't need it, then you don't need it. You know
well, my
saying?
Lungs are fucked, too, and I don't want to start smoking cigarettes, man.
Yeah. Oh, you smoke cigarettes?
No, no, no. I haven't for 8 years.
Okay.
January 8th, it'll be 8 years since I had a cigarette.
Yeah. I think that was, like, one of the first things that I started doing in A school, man. I mean,
yeah.
before you know it, you go to the smoke pit and you smoke a whole pack in an hour because you don't
want to
leave
the smoke
pit. Because
there's nothing else to do.
Pit.
You
yeah.
want to just hang. I mean,
what
that's,
are you
going to
do?
Yeah, back then, dude, that was it. You go to the smoke pit just to hang out.
Everyone's
where,
down there.
That's where all negotiations happen in the smoke pit, man.
Yeah.
People don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, four chiefs have a cigarette. You get more shit done than fucking five officers in a 6-day meeting. You
no
know what
shit.
I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking smoke pits, man. I wonder how many people got cancer just from smoke pits?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I cut that out when I met my wife. She's like, when we were dating, she was like, I can't date someone who smokes.
Yeah.
So I stopped.
Boom, done.
Yeah, done. Yeah.
Say no more.
It was a very easy decision. But she smoked weed, though. So she's like, you can smoke weed.
That's cool. Man,
no cigarettes.
My buddy Lee Noss in high school, man, rest his soul, buddy. He was like, dude, what the fuck do you smoke cigarettes for? It don't get you high. That's stupid.
That's
shit.
Some sound logic there.
Right?
But, I mean, that's it. I mean, I'll eat some shrooms. One of the I do shrooms like maybe twice a year.
Yeah.
And the last time I did them was actually.
That's like Bill Hicks, man. He was like, he's sober, clean, sober, but he doesn't count mushrooms.
The fucking
you know?
Prophet, dude.
Yeah, you know, and he's just like, he's got that bit, and I don't want to fucking hack it, but he's got that bit where he talks about people eating mushrooms and having, you know, good thoughts.
Yeah.
And nobody ever says anything about that. It's always that one asshole who lays down and looks at the sun all day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the worst experience I'd say that I had on shrooms was at the Comedy Store.
Really?
Yeah, because it's not a place to eat shrooms.
Yeah.
Not a place to eat shrooms.
Unless you're like Ari. Unless you're Ari, because I think. Or Matt Egger.
Yeah. I was talking to Leslie and she was being so emphatic.
That Leslie Jones?
Yeah. It was. It literally scared the shit out of me. And then I went and I was talking to Jeff in his face.
Well, she can be intimidating in regular person without mushrooms, so.
She is, yeah. And she is actually one of my better friends from up there.
Oh, nice.
She's a cool person, but, I mean, she made it. You know, that's...
Speaking of SNL, that's where she's at. Man.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible, man. That she owes that to Chris Rock right there. And
that's awesome.
A while back, we saw him up there, and it's like, well, I don't want to be like, you're hilarious. So it's like, hey, love what you did for Leslie Jones. And immediately it's like, yeah, she's really funny. It's not, hey, you're fucking Chris Rock. I love you.
Yeah, and that's people like that, too, if I don't have anything to say, I'll fist bump them, and that's it. Like, hey, man, good to see you.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, good to see you, too. Like, I really don't have a whole lot to talk with Marin about, but every time I see him, it's always like, good to see you, man. Hey, good to see you, too.
And he's a great guy.
And
nice
fist
guy.
Fist bump, and that's it. And then every once in a while, there'll be something. We'll talk about rock and roll or something, but or he has somebody cool on his show.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I never want to fuck with the guy.
Yeah. Talk about a comeback, though. That guy. Like, podcast.
Well, that podcast
would
saved his life, really.
Holy shit,
know?
Dude. And it's fantastic, too. I mean... The guests he gets.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I love that podcast.
Well, they had the president. You can't really do much bigger than that.
Yeah, no shit.
You know, to his house.
Yeah.
Hang out in your garage.
In your garage, dude.
You know?
Yeah.
Shit. I don't think I'll ever have something that cool on my podcast, but that'd be pretty cool.
You don't know that, man.
I'm retired, man. I'm retired Navy. Hey, Trump, you want to be on my podcast, dude?
It could happen.
It'll be huge.
That would be the...
It'll be huge.
That'll be the pinnacle of podcast for you there.
Get, Jeff Richards to be the president. It'll be huge. Shit. Well, hey, man. Well, I guess I'll wrap this up, man. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything coming out? Anything you want to say to the troopers out there?
Man, just...
Troopy troops?
Keep going. Fucking thank you for doing the shit that I didn't do when I was in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, sometimes when I'm sitting there behind my desk when I was in, and I'm like, I'm making the same shit that the Marines are making out there.
Yeah.
The war in Iraq is happening, you know. I feel guilty. I mean, but you shouldn't. I mean, everyone, you know, does their own thing, but you know. Fucking, I appreciate it, and I fucking love my fellow veterans, dude. I love the service members, and everyone should.
And, well, the thing is, too, is, like, not everybody's at the front, too. You know what I'm saying? So
that's
there's
true.
A lot of people that didn't go to any zones.
That's true.
While they were in. They're collecting the same bennies. I felt horrible about collecting my recruiter money. Because I was getting paid more than a regular SEAL. That's what we were told, at least.
Oh, shit.
Because you got your incentive pay. Your, not for reenlisting, though. Those guys, they get fucking... You know,
oh, yeah.
I'm sure they get banked. But as far as on every day, I mean, my combat pay... Or not combat pay. Recruiter pay, it was higher than combat hazard duty pay. You know?
Shit.
Only difference is I had to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Was that in Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And awesome, too, is like... I was collecting BAH, but my rent was like $300 a month versus, you know, for a nice sized apartment.
Yeah.
Know?
And you're in your hometown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that shit's nice. Let me turn off the Muppet clock here. Yeah, we got all the shit, dude.
That's awesome.
But yeah, man, I just, you know, I'm thankful for all the troops still out there doing it. And honestly, if there is a kid listening to this that doesn't know what they want to do, fucking enlist. I still tell everyone to enlist,
that's
man.
That's the best, man. And the thing is, it's all voluntary. Everybody there is fucking doing that shit. And, oh, man, I just got back home, or from home from Christmas, and I had this one cat who used to make fun of me for going in the military and talking shit because I don't want the government to control me. Dude, I did more shit while I was on active duty than most people do at a regular any-day job.
Yeah.
You know, plus you got 30 days paid vacation. I'm not trying to turn this into a recruiting thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm fucking collecting retirement.
Yeah.
And this bitch is fucking still doing the grinding at the factory. And, you know, God bless you for fucking factory work. We need people to do shit.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pay the bills. But at the same time, it's the motherfucker that made fun of me and saying I'm a horrible, not horrible, but I'm making a horrible decision for my life. And whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. And, well, just tell everybody else out there, for those that I've followed, thanks for making me a better leader. And those that I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Fuck yeah. Get some. Have a great day. Happy holidays, bitches.